Urban Media Today introduces your sports weekend lineup. The next 30 minutes will inspire you. High school and collegiate Hall of Famer Margot Hinton touching on the importance of self-discipline, always challenging yourself, and the support of community. It's Give It Up with Margot Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio.
Welcome to the Give It Up podcast. I'm your host, Margot Hinton. I hope everybody's doing well out there. First, I want to thank my producer, Mr. Trevin Jones. What's up with you, Trevin?
Come on, man. You wasting time. It's time to give it up. Let's go.
Come on now. Everybody got to give it up out there. Also want to give props to Mr. Alan Lincoln for giving me this opportunity. Yes, y'all, we are on Urban Media Today. My voice is a little bit raspy. A couple kids coughed on me yesterday, and now I'm raspy, so I apologize for that. But the show must go on, as they say. Again, this is the Give It Up podcast. Our mission is to inspire you to live on purpose. When we say give it up, we mean celebrate. And when we say give it up, we mean communicate. And lastly, sometimes when we say give it up, we mean just let it go. Today, I have two very special guests. Yes, I do. It is my blood, my people, my family. It's my cousins, Mr. Malcolm Thomas and Mr. St. Lawrence, better known as Larry Harris. Everybody give it up for them because they are special. What I want you guys to do, Malcolm, we're going to start with you. Just say a little bit about your background because, you know, you guys are my heroes, really. A little bit about your background, what you're doing now, and just a little bit about our family maybe.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. My hero, for real. So I give it right back to you. But what I do is I've been in educational field and community, you know, in some ways community activism. And I call it community healing, warrior healer work. And I work at a school now, University Preparatory School, which was Old Heron Hill, which is Old Malines. And a few other schools with an organization that we started or that I inherited and rebranded called Reaching Back, and do a few services there, chess debate, mediation, college prep, and overall manhood development and mentoring school-wide.
Inspiring the young folks. That's what we want to do.
And I also work with my cousin across the table to do things in community and leadership development in the South Hills area, where he's leading that charge. So I'm appreciative of being a part of that. And me and him have had a lifelong goal to work more together, which we're doing now. And overall, just, you know, family is a big part of why I am who I am. You know, I think I come from the best family, and I have a lot of people in my family who inspire me. So one of the things that we have always been is we've always been nurturers, people who want to help other people and who are givers. So I could talk on and on, and as we all know, that comes from my grandmother.
That's right.
Who was, you know, the real inspiration for all of that. So I want to give a shout out to Miss Gnarly Hinton. I hope you're proud of us and what we're trying to do to keep your spirit going. I know you're here with us on this podcast.
I love it. Larry.
All right, next up to bat, it's Mr. Larry Harris, born and raised in South Hills area, Belsouver. Ooh, list is long. President of a nonprofit organizations in my community, the Belsouver Consensus Group, coalition of nonprofits for the betterment of the neighborhood in South Hills area. Program director for Voices Against Violence, what I do work with, as Malcolm just said. Main goal, when they brought me aboard, is to do more prevention programming so we can teach our children to go the right direction when that particular crossroad comes, to use more creative thinking and make wiser decisions for growth. As far as family, wow, where to begin and end is everything, right? We were privy to be raised and cultured by special people, right? My grandmother, seven women, of course, my mother, one of them, who really taught us to be leaders, to be loving, to be a family, right? So it really is taken, I would say, for myself to the next level of understanding how important that is, because family is everything.
These are the people who culture you, who make you who you are, and also to push and motivate you to be great. So for my family, they're everything for me. Everything. So that's my piece.
I love it. I love it. So I brought you guys here for this podcast to talk a little bit about legacy. We're going to start with a quote, and this is the quote. Great ambition and conquest without contribution is without significance. What will your contribution be? How will history remember you? And that quote's by William Hundert. So with that quote, we're going to begin a conversation about legacy. I want to give you the definition of legacy, too. The dictionary would define legacy as a gift or a bequest that is handed down, endowed, or conveyed from one person to another. It is something descendable one comes into possession of that is transmitted, inherited, or received from a predecessor. So what do you guys think about legacy, and how are you building your own? Are you focused on that right now? Malcolm?
Okay, I'll go. For me, it's interesting because I had a conversation with a brother I'm close to about, I want to say maybe 6 months ago. His name is Bomani House. Mm. We were talking about really how do we, at the point in our lives, when you get to a certain point in your lives, at, near, or past the middle part of your life,
mm-hmm.
like what are you going to leave on this earth
right.
to make the world better once you're gone? Because, you know, you can't be everywhere and you can't be anywhere forever. And so, for me, I see the legacy I would like to leave, first of all, is one of, as we talked about family, I think it's important to have the people close to you able to say things about you, to feel that you are invested in them. And for a good portion of my life, I wasn't as focused on the immediate people as I thought I needed to be. I'm trying to do stuff out here, but I had to realize I have to really focus on spending time. Who are the most important people? Mm. And how do I spend more time with those people?
Absolutely.
Right. For instance, I was supposed to be somewhere tonight, but this was more important to me because I'm here with my cousin.
Thank you. Thank Absolutely. You.
Because this, you know,
let's give it up for that. Let's give it up for that.
A chance to do something together. So we're all here together, spending time together. But also, I think that one of the things I'd like to think my legacy can and be, if I work hard, is I want to change the identity that we have in the world in general, but in particularly in our community, about how we see ourselves.
Mm.
I think your identity, it creates a circle. It circumscribes everything you attempt, everything you accept. Like you don't try to do anything consistently outside of the way you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we see ourselves, I believe, is a stereotype that's been put upon us. It's not even really real. We talk about the real, but it's like it's something that's been created that we buy into. So I want to do something to change that, and also to change. I'm a healing movement, a restoration movement. I think that we need to heal from a lot of stuff that's happened, and just relationships, physically heal. I don't want to get too deep with it, but I look at myself as a healer type of person, fighting to create a healing
Absolutely.
Movement. And so that's one of the things I want to do. It's always been my goal. My oldest daughter, my firstborn, her name is Senechim Sayu, and that means healer of the people. I gave her that name on purpose. So I've always, my dream is to have the Senechim Sayu Healing Center.
Wow.
That's why she has that name, so that we would have a healers of the people center is our goal. Me and her created that when she was real little. And so on the paper, I have the whole draft of it and everything that we do. We used to do Saturday Academy. So my goal is to create a healing center with that name that will outlive me, that my children
That's
and
a
family
legacy.
Can inherit.
Absolutely.
And it will stay in the community as a community institute.
That's legacy.
Absolutely.
Get in there, Larry.
Legacy. For me, one job I did not mention, the most important job is fatherhood.
Mm. Mm, there you go.
By far. I just want to be, I am going to be, someone that my children can speak up with pride and admiration.
Mm-hmm.
As a leader for them, as a healer and a provider. I mean, that's my everyday goal, which inspires me from sunup to sundown. So as far as legacy for us, as I mentioned briefly earlier, there's a certain legacy that we have family-wise. Just to go to different family reunions and see all the people just come out in droves and the love and just like, you know. Actually, I'm going to back up a little bit. I thought it was something that was normal, right? Mm-hmm. We would go to these family reunions every year, and I thought that's what people did, and it's not. And to understand how important that is, my grandmother, our grandmother, forgive me, would be on the phone 6-7 months out of the year calling people from California to New Jersey to Florida, right? In touch with these folks, bringing everybody together as a union. And I never, it was so much of a norm. Sometimes I think when things are too much of a norm, you take that for granted.
Absolutely, we did.
Until you really see outside and otherwise. When you become more of the world, see how much of the world doesn't really intertwine like we do, right? So that's the reason why family is so important. But back to the original comment, I'm sorry, as far as legacy, is to leave something that, you know, not only my children can be proud of, but also the children that I have in my organizations I work with. Changing the mentality to let them understand how precious and beautiful they are and unique. As Minike Malcolm spoke on, the stereotypical things that we fall victim to is really try to, you know, change that with history, understanding your history, who you are, what you mean in this world, what is your position. You know, and just planting a seed, whereas it'd be something that people were like, this person brought this to the world, you know. Something about, and I'll leave you with this as far as legacy. Me and my son were talking. I think I mentioned it to you before, Malcolm, and also Margo. But just let the, you know, the listeners out there grasp. So my son and myself were talking. I was like, well, you know, always checking. Like, you know, what are you into? What do you like? What do you watch, right? I said, well, who do you look up to? Like, who is your thing, guy? Is it like a rapper? He said, no, of course not. He said, it's you. He said, any decision that I make or any way I look at life, what would my father think or do? And that was the best ultimate compliment I could ever,
you could
have
ever
in my
get.
Life, right? Mm-hmm. So it just, from that moment, even, number one, let me know I was doing something right, right?
Mm-hmm, there you
and
go.
And number two, also to take that to the next level, you know, and even down to my youngest, who is 3, Malik, and I'll mention his name too, Heru Amin-Ra, which is a powerful name. I gave him that name for a reason and let him understand. Well, first, Malik, it means king, something my mother used to call me. I took with great pride. Heru is a savior, and Amin-Ra, the god of all gods. So it has gives him an understanding of what his purpose in this world is to be a leader and a leader of the people. So just to leave you guys with that.
I love it. You guys out there, I know you hear my cousins. They're deep. This is the kind of conversations we have all the time. And that leads me into something that we share very deeply is our love for Mr. LeBron James. Yeah, we love LeBron James. And we're not ashamed to say it. And what I want to do is play for you guys a clip. And that clip is the interview, part of the interview that he had with Don Lemon on CNN.
Okay.
And it just relates to how his career sort of changed a few years ago. And Don Lemon is asking him the question, like, yeah, I noticed you changed a little bit a couple of years ago, and why is that? So I want to play that clip for you.
Awesome.
There's been something has changed in you over the last year or two. Is it what's going on in the country racially? Is it politically? Is political?
I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, I think it starts with the Trayvon Martin, you know, situation. You know, and the reason it starts with that, I believe, is because, you know, having kids of my own, having boys of my own, mm-hmm. it hit home for me to see and to learn the story and to think that, you know, if my boy left home and he never returned,
right?
You know, that kind of hit a switch. Right. That kind of hit a switch for me, and from that point on, I knew that my voice and my platform had to be used for more than just sports.
So I played that clip because I believe at that moment when this switch, you know, for LeBron changed is the moment that his legacy started moving in a different direction.
Absolutely. Right. More purpose.
So I just wanted to get your thoughts about what he said in terms of, you know, LeBron's legacy and how it relates to all of us as black people when he talks about, you know, the Trayvon Martins and the Tamir Rices and those type of incidents where you feel like you have to speak up because we are black people affected by those incidents.
I think it's vital, especially for LeBron James of the world, because it's someone who is so polarizing across the world who is speaking out on such harsh conditions, right, that have been going on for centuries, actually. So a lot of times people are in their position where they choose that position, place, or thing over actually who they are and what they are and what they are to this world. So for a person like LeBron to actually come to the forefront with the I Can't Breathe t-shirts, with the interviews, with the school, which is awesome, legacy, right? who's leaving a legacy like never before, who's really dictating and not just speaking on it, but taking action to make change, right? This brother sent, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me, guys, I think it's 1,000 children scholarships.
Yeah, I think it's actually, I want to say a couple. I want to say 2,000.
I think it's a per year.
I want to say since the inception of him, his foundation, I was looking up the statistics for that, and I know if I could get to it really quickly.
Yeah, with LeBron, I mean, he's just on another level, a whole other level. Someone you can look up to, someone children can be proud of, and bigger than just a basketball player. I mean, this is God-given talent, but the man that he is, I think, supersedes basketball astronomically. Just to be in the conversation of something like that is dynamic. I can't remember in a sports history of anyone doing something like this. So we are at a very, very special time with him and others. But I think he's really leading the way, and especially being the best. It's not a lot of times you see the best in any position or sport, besides Muhammad Ali, I take that back, I forgive me, that's really took the forefront of a civil rights movement or any type of movement of their people to progress their legacy.
Absolutely. And so I found the statistics. So LeBron's foundation, which is referred to as the After School All-Stars program, has donated over $40 million, and he's supported over 800 children, and the first batch of graduates will be in 2021. Wow. And he's donated to there's a Muhammad Ali, it's called Muhammad Ali, A Force for Change. And it's an exhibit at the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture. He's donated $2.5 million to that. Boys and Girls Clubs, $2.5 million to that. As we know, we talked about the Promise School in Akron. So LeBron is definitely leaving a legacy.
Give it up for LeBron. One time for LeBron.
Yeah, give it up. Give it up for LeBron. That's right. Malcolm, you want to jump in on that?
Well, I mean, I mean, we're all sports fans.
Yes.
Right.
In our family, we play. I was never as good of an athlete as either one of you.
You got game.
Yeah. just from playing.
We've known to shut down a quarter or two.
I was more just like a athletic purse, quick, fast, you know, but as far as.
Listen, that's a whole nother episode of the podcast talking about our skills.
Right.
It's really crafting my skill to play sports. Y'all were at a different place to me, always. But. Because we always socialized around basketball,
right,
in our family, we would always have conversations about, you know, who was nice and who we liked. And it was always people who represented more than just the game.
Something off the court.
Absolutely.
Because for me, it was always harder for me, and I'm rightly or wrongly, to get all the way into anybody who wasn't more than just, you know, that thing. You know, because I feel like you have a platform when you're playing sports. You have a platform when you're on TV. You have a platform when you're on the mic. You have a platform when you're a celebrity. And so, you know, we all loved AI. We liked, you know, players who represented some principle.
Yes.
Right? And to me, I love the fact that LeBron James is, he might be for me. One of the greatest examples in history, other than Muhammad Ali, or right. since Muhammad Ali.
Right, absolutely.
Of someone who's at the top of their game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At the top of their game, but still represents more than their game.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Because even when you talk about Cavs, a lot of people will try to use the argument for him, rightly or wrongly, that he's not really relevant as an athlete anymore. So he's, you know, but that's not, I don't agree with that. But LeBron James is at the peak of his career, you know, and he still comes out front end of issues and does all these things outside of basketball and will openly say that the most important thing for me is not necessarily basketball, but trying to use that to affect other people in a certain way. And I just think he's an amazing story, first of all, as an individual, what he's overcome, what he's come through. He's the first player I've ever seen who was better than the hype.
Right.
Ever.
There it is.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
I felt like it was impossible for him to live up to the expectations. And he became a top 10 or 15 player his very first game in the NBA.
Yeah.
As an 18-year-old kid, you know. And so he's amazing to me. But I just think that when you see players like him, when you see a lot of the other guys in various sports, I think there's more of a movement toward that happening. Mm-hmm. There's more of a thing that allows athletes today to empower themselves and to be able to use what they're doing to leverage their position in different ways than in years past. And I think he's on the front end of leading that. So I love him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just love him, and I could talk about him over and over.
Yes,
I used to think, here's how much I love him. I thought Kyrie Irving was my favorite player because I can relate to his game.
Mm-hmm.
I could never be like LeBron. So it's hard for me to relate. That's why I liked AI so much. I could relate to him.
Right.
He's the same height as me, same size as me. So I could relate to him. I could never relate to LeBron's game in the same way because I could never do the stuff he does on the court. Like,
right.
I could never be like him as a player. And I was like, I'm a ball handler. I like Kyrie's game. But when he left the Cavs and they played the very first game last year,
mm-hmm.
immediately within the first 30 seconds, I was rooting for Cleveland. And I realized Kyrie's not my favorite player.
Yeah.
And I thought he was.
Right.
But I was rooting for LeBron.
Your right. heart was with LeBron.
Yeah, I was polarizing. Like,
that's why I went out and bought a Lakers wardrobe now. LeBron.
I got to switch it up.
Yeah, so I wasn't really even a Laker fan before.
Right.
I didn't ride with the Lakers.
I am now.
I am now, too.
Absolutely.
I'm representing the Lakers.
Wherever he goes, I'm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's how big he is for me.
It's hard not to. I mean, you know, somebody who is, as we all spoke on, is dynamic athletically, you know, and a lot of times people choose career over substance. I think it happens too many times, actually. So I know you had touched on, I'm not going to get it because we're going to get into that next, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. But as far as Kaepernick, we'll talk about that next.
Yes, we're going right into Cap.
Right, so I'm not going to say too much about that. I'll save that information for then. But just someone who is on that type of level, I know I'll say it again. To be at the top of the mountain when it comes to sports. And he could potentially be the greatest athlete of all sports right now today. And to choose, whereas we've seen multitudes of people be crucified, per se, of the Muhammad Ali's, the Jim Browns, and the list goes on, and Kaepernick, right, as of right now, for speaking out, not even thinking a moment about what that potentially could do to his legacy, right? But when you choose legacy, and understand the substance of what that word means, as Margaret read that before we had this conversation, to understand how dynamic that is to leave a legacy. Because statistics, okay, that's cool. Somebody might score more points. Somebody might get more rebounds. But are people going to affect more children? Are people going to change more lives? Debatable.
That's it. So since Malcolm brought in Cap, and you want to get to Cap, this is going to be our last thing, and then we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to play a clip of Colin Kaepernick accepting an award from Amnesty International. And here is the clip.
We as a collective, since the colonization of the Americas, have been combating collective forms of systemic racialized hate and oppression. But I am hopeful. I'm inspired. This is why we have to protest. This is why we are so passionate. We protest because we love ourselves and we love our people. It was James Baldwin who said, to be black in America and to be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time. My question is, why aren't all people?
Deep, wow. Right? Deep.
That's crazy. I've seen that movie where James Baldwin
deep.
Said that.
Deep.
Me too.
I'm not your Negro.
Yeah.
Deep.
I took my wife to see that.
Yeah, I took
absolutely
the kids from the program
deep.
To see that, and they were like, what did I just watch?
What?
So Cap's legacy and Goose just how what he said, how does that make you guys feel?
And it just kind of rolls right into, and that's perfect time, and it rolls right into what I was just talking about. I mean, where he chose substance over performance as far as the NFL. I salute this brother on another level because not only speaking out, not only protest, but also putting his money where his mouth is, right? It wasn't something where a lot of people I've seen take situations and use them for personal advancement, for media, for, you know, commercialized profits, things of that sort. But he's really dealing with the issue face head on, right? I don't see, you know, he had many opportunities to bend. But he wouldn't because he understands the substance and the content of the actual thing he is doing supersedes an NFL quarterback, supersedes a uniform, supersedes a team and things of that sort. So you have to salute people like that or take the ultimate sacrifice as far as the careers. We have to think. This brother's been playing football probably since, what, 6, 7 years old?
The thing he's loved his whole
life. His whole life.
It's been taken away from him.
It's been taken away from him for what? And then it's crazy because, just a little history for those that don't know, the saddest part about the whole thing is about this kneeling, per se, is that the reason why he kneeled is
out of respect.
Absolutely. There was a guy on his team who was a veteran, right? War veteran, who said, you know, hey, man, I'm with you, but I just feel a certain type of way about that because of X, Y, Z. So he said, okay, you know what? I can go with that. So what do you think we could collectively do to, of course, show how I feel about a situation, but also not disrespect those? And it was kneeling. So it just shows you that people
can twist the meaning of your movement,
prejudge without any information, without any knowledge of what is going on. So, and it kind of goes with the first thing he said, racial injustice, right? So where people can see a person's skin color before they understand what's going on. We could talk about something that the man said personally, I'm not doing it because of this, it's because of that. And the saddest part about it is, we'll debate about kneeling, we'll debate about flags, but no one yet is to debate about what is going on as far as racial injustice of African Americans being murdered in this country for centuries. And that is the main thing, and it's just beyond me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even have to say too much to that. All I'll say is that for me, it's a situation where it inspires me to use my platform to do the same thing. We all, you know, one of the things I think the worst thing people have taught us is that certain people have privilege, but we all have certain forms of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you look at justice, we all have privilege. We all have, it's a privilege to even have this conversation right now.
Absolutely.
It's a privilege to be able to talk about things you think and have somebody listen to that. So every time I get a microphone, every time I get some sort of platform that I can stand on, I'm just trying to use it to further something bigger than myself.
Right.
And use it for something that's not my own selfish aggrandizement or my own exclusive aims. And so that's what those guys and many others have inspired me to do, is to try to use whatever opportunity I have, whatever power I have, whatever privilege I have, whatever position I have, whatever audience I have, to try to affect people positively, but also be willing to sacrifice. Right. That's the thing. When Larry said that, you got to think about how many hundreds of hours he spent playing football. I mean, you don't get to the NFL
no
without being single-minded. Y'all know Super Bowl. I'm talking about how few people yeah. get to the National Football League as mm-hmm. a starter in a Super Bowl.
Right.
Right? And you've been dreaming about this all your life. That's all you – I mean, you're – that's what you're doing all day, every day for, you know, over two decades of your life. And then all of a sudden, you're willing to risk all of that for something bigger. So to me, that's just, you know, people will be like, man, if I was in slavery, I'd have took that whip off that cap. I mean, but, you know, people won't even sacrifice right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They won't even speak up if they risk maybe getting demoted or getting, you know, not a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see that, I think it inspires all of us to be willing to step out. Because if you have enough people willing to do that, that's when real things happen.
Absolutely.
You know, because major change to me comes from a little bit of people doing a whole lot
mm-hmm.
and a whole lot of people just doing a little.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he gets us to do. Is a, you know, a couple people make a big, big move to just get a whole bunch of people to do little things to show some courage and sacrifice if and where they can.
Do what you can where you're at.
Yep.
That's it.
So that's why I love that and everything that represents to me.
So we're going to wrap it up a little bit. I'd like to leave us on the Give It Up podcast with some homework. So you heard all this great information, and it's just been great, a great time here with my cousins Malcolm and Larry. But I want to give you some homework. So in order to start beginning to build your own legacy, there's some things that you have to do. Number one, you want to identify your core values. So, or one of your core values, as my cousins both said, family. So if that's one of your core values, you want to look towards your legacy that involves your family. Is it love? Is it loyalty? Is it generosity? Is it friendship? What are those core values that you have? So that's number one. Number two, you want to identify your assets. So ask yourself, what are you passionate about and what are you good at? Mm. So identify your core values, identify your assets, and lastly, identify the need. So what are the needs of the community that you're trying to serve? Use your assets to help uplift that community and center all of that around your core values. So that's your homework. And before you go, I have a little segment that I call You Got to Give It Up Before You Go. So I'm going to ask you guys a question, mm-hmm. and you just give me a real short, quick answer. And we'll be out of here. Real quick, your pitch. So, Malcolm, who inspires you?
Oh, man. Whoa. I was supposed to do a knee jerk? Okay, hold on. Man, the list is so long, but I got to be on my kids.
Your kids. My kids.
Because they do the different things to make me feel like I have to be greater just to be their father. I feel like I have to be a better man just to be their father. You know, I always think about that. Like, I have to be. Let me tell a quick story. Real quick, Chris. One time I was saying something negative about somebody. And close to my daughter. And I was always telling her to be patient and work with people. And she hugged me and she started crying.
Oh, no.
And she was like, Daddy, can't we just give him time?
Wow.
And she was 5 when she said this. And I realized I had to be a better man just to be this child's father. And so my kids.
I love it.
Yeah.
Larry, who inspires you?
Definitely the kids and the two people in this room. I know I've said it before, but you guys have actually helped me to, wow, bing, bow, boom. I mean, where does that end and begin? So I definitely think that the two people in this room, my children, and also my family, definitely, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to just hit you with one more, and then we're going to roll out of here. So besides what we're talking about here now, what's the best thing you heard today? The best thing you heard today.
The best thing I heard today, in our conversation?
No, not in ours. So outside of here.
Oh.
In your other travels.
The best thing I heard today was I was at a conference, and a woman said, you know, it was at a conference about equity in education.
Okay.
And she talked about how when people do wrong in schools or anywhere, they need community, not isolation.
I love it.
They need community.
That's right.
It's community that helps to heal people. And we tend to isolate and ostracize people, but what they really need is connection.
They need that village.
So that's what stayed with me, is how we have to create community. When people have a problem, we have to find a way to come together and connect them with the community, as opposed to isolating them or ostracizing them from the community. That's the best thing I heard all day.
By far. Might be the best thing I've heard all day. I might piggyback, right?
Oh, piggyback? You can go with that.
Short and sweet. I talked to my daughter today, and she said, Daddy, I love you. Best thing I heard today.
Wow. That's it.
There it is.
All right. We're going to roll out on this. Peanut butter or jelly, Malcolm?
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter or jelly?
Peanut butter substance.
Okay. I'm jelly. Sorry. Okay.
That's why we
by
mix.
Plane or by car?
Car.
Car?
Plane. I just knew the airplanes, and I love them.
I am car. North Carolina or Duke?
I got to go with NC, baby.
Who you
North
got?
North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. We're all three.
Not even close.
We're on the same page here.
Not even close.
Sixers or Celtics?
Oh, come on now.
This one's easy, too.
Yeah.
Sixers. Yeah. We're all Sixers.
Yeah. I got to answer that one.
Dr. J.
Okay, this might be a little
Moses
harder.
Moses Malone. Okay.
Jordan or LeBron?
Oh.
I got to go there.
I'm going with LBJ. I'm going to just go out on it. Yeah.
I'm LBJ, too.
LeBron.
Okay.
Yeah, LeBron.
Okay, last but not least, high tops or low tops?
I'm going to go low.
I think I'm high tops.
I'm going to go low.
Knees are bad now, so I'm going to say low tops.
I'm going to go low.
Low tops.
Basketball is not as much.
I'm going to go low.
I love it. Well, thank you guys. I want to thank my cousins, Malcolm, Minnekek, Thomas, and St. Lawrence Harris, better known as Larry. And, of course, my producer. We're over and out, Trevor.
It's Give It Up with Marco Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio. Brought to you by Nice to Media Marketing and Promotions.